Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church podcast. We are so glad that you're joining us today. For today's podcast, we continue our journey through the book of Romans with our Nothing Will series, and today's teaching is entitled Old School Faith. So prepare your hearts for an encouraging and uplifting message from God. Enjoy, and God bless. We're still in our series, Nothing Wills, and today's title is titled Old School Faith. Old School Faith, I like that. Amen. And we in Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 15. What then? Shall we say that Abraham, our father, has founded according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not accounted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Does this blessedness then come upon the circumcised only, or upon the uncircumcised also? For we say that faith was accounted to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it accounted? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also, and the father of circumcision to those who are not only are of the circumcision, but who also in the steps of faith which our father Abraham had while still uncircumcised. Verse 13, for the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seeds through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect, because the law brings wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. All right. We're in chapter 4 of Romans in this series, Nothing Wills. I'm enjoying this series, you all. I'm enjoying teaching them, learning so much. In chapter 1, Paul was bringing correction, and he brought some teachings out in chapter 1 against the pagans. Amen. They had some vile lifestyles. Amen. But then in chapter 2, he started dealing with church people or the religious people or the Jews who had the law. And they looked to the law as that was their righteousness by being circumcised. And Paul is bringing out that righteousness coming by faith. It comes by faith. All right? Now, this is strange to the church people of that day, because the righteousness they was having was by the law. Amen? It was by them being a Jew, them being brought up in the Jewish customs, in the Jewish ways. So the Jews felt like they didn't need Some Jews then felt like they didn't need to repent. They didn't need this type of way. But God was bringing this way to his people through Jesus and what Jesus done for them, all right? And Paul suffered a lot of persecution for that, amen? And the persecution that Paul suffered was because of this statement right here. Romans chapter 3, verse 27 and 28. He says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, by the law of faith. And I'll explain that a little more. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Now, this is the statement that got Paul killed. Because now Paul, without deeds or without boasting, there is no religion. There's no boasting. You know, the boasting that people, they was doing of that, they're so holy. They're so righteous because they keep the law. And the boasting was in and of themselves. You end up exalting man when you boasting in yourself and you are part of the law. But Paul was saying right here, justification comes to man apart from the deeds of the law. Now, I mean, I grew up in the church, but we didn't harp on the law. We weren't trying to keep a bunch of rules. But this also is for you. You're not justified before God by what you do. Can I say that again? You're not justified, declared righteous, declared holy before God by your deeds. Amen. Especially when we pertain into righteousness. Now, I love deeds. I love works. But not to be justified before God. There's nothing you can do to be justified before God. Physically. Nothing that you can do to be justified before God. To be declared not guilty. There's nothing you can do. Amen. You can get baptized 50,000 times, but unless you believe, you will not be justified. I love coming to church. Thank God for y'all being here. Thank God for, you know, the worship team. But the things that we do for God do not justify us before God and make us not guilty. Amen. And we have to be reminded of that, that this is a very, very powerful gift that God has given us. Very big gift for him to justify us and to make us righteous, all right? And so Paul was bringing, and this can't be to the Jews because this is their life. They live for boasting. They live for the approval of men, amen? And so Paul says right here that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. And so the Jews of that day, they like, prove it then. Okay, if this so God and this is true, prove it by the law then, Paul. Prove it. Show us. All right? And so that's what chapter 4 is about. Paul chose two distinct characters in the Old Testament that the Jews admired and looked up to. And that was Abraham and David. And he shows these examples in the Old Testament that they was justified by faith, not by the law. All right? And this is why it's called old school faith, because Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And so Paul, God is looking for your faith. What do you believe about God? Not what we believe as a church, but personally yourselves. Do you believe that baptism actually justifies you before God? Amen? Or any good deeds that you do? Put it like this. We are not saved by what we do. We're saved by what he did. That's a big difference. So it's God's works or his acts that save you. It's what God did that actually saves you, not what you do. Amen. This is very important because if we don't get this as our foundation, then we'll be trying to please God and work for God, and we'll try to work for our healing, and we'll try to do things to please God in and of ourselves. And in all actuality, we can't please God. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. All right. So listen to this. They said, prove it. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. Now, this was the Jews' attitude. He said, prove it. He says, what then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has founded according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. But what does the scriptures say? Let's stop right there. For what does the scriptures say? That's a great question that you should ask. What does the scripture say? Always go to the word for what you believe. Never come up with your own beliefs. This is so important. Always go to Jesus, and he tells you what you should believe. Whether it's hard for you to understand or not, if Jesus agrees with it, I do, all right? It's so important when you start talking about what you believe and what's your faith and, you know, how you personally believe. I have no personal beliefs of my own. It's just whatever Jesus says, that's what I believe. Jesus taught me that he is right and I'm always wrong. And until I agree with Jesus, that's when I become right. Amen. We have to allow Jesus to be the truth. Or the absolute truth of what we believe. So you always want to go to the word. So Paul went to the word to prove to them the statement of 28. We are justified apart from the deeds of the law. So he go to Abraham. And we know Abraham was justified before God just by believing God. And what is that statement, believing God? God said, Abraham, you are a father of many nations. Abraham accepted it. Then God said, that is righteousness. Righteousness is accepting what God says about you. Abraham didn't have any kids. He was an old age, 75 years old. Then God said, you'll have nations. And then he changed his name to be father of many nations. Amen. And the Bible says Abraham just believed that. And then the Bible says that God saw him as righteous. We're not talking about his works now. We're not talking about how good he's been. We're not talking about if Abraham done everything right. No, the Bible says Abraham believed what God said. And God translated that or computed that as he righteous. That's righteous. All right. So now this has to be very important to us in our foundation and what justifies us. So we don't be working trying to go to heaven or even working for God in our strength. We're gonna produce a lot of works for God, but it's out of his love for us. It's by keeping focused on what he's done for us. Letting that be your aim, letting that be your focus. What Jesus done for you. Amen. That's going to produce a lot of work, but it's not going to be in your strength. It's not going to be in your might because it's stimulated out of what he did and not out of what you do. What's your work? It's something you decide to do or something you've been told to do, and it's coming from you. It's your energy. But what stimulates us to come and do for God? He took my sins away. This was God's plan to come save us, you all. I mean, it started with him. This was his plan to come and save humanity. He loved me that much. This is why I do for God, because he loved me so much. Amen. And so Paul is emphasizing that Abraham believed God before the law. was even written. It was not one law. Or before he was circumcised, the Bible says that Abraham believed and it was accounted to him for righteousness. All right? Listen to this statement. Embracing what God has planned for you is the best thing you can do for him. This is so powerful. Embracing what God has planned for you is the best you can do for him. This is what's going to stimulate you to do everything he wants you to do because he loved me so much. Amen. This is why I be the husband to my wife and the father to my kids, because he first loved me. Amen. He showed himself. He manifested himself to me. He revealed his love to me. And this is why I be the father to my kids. Amen. Let's keep moving forward. Verse 5. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also described, the blessed of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those, and one version says, happy are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. All right. What did David do to be justified before God? First of all, everybody know what David did. Amen. He took somebody else's wife, then murdered the husband, and then had a child from her. And then Nathan came along and corrected Nathan the prophet, came along and corrected David about this sin. And this is the sin that David committed. Amen. And the Bible says, if we go to Psalms chapter, when y'all do your study, Psalms chapter 32, or Psalms 32, it talks about how David confessed his sin before God. And that's what this scripture is derived from. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven. And David, we know, the Bible says David was one that's after God's own heart. But how can this be? He committed this vile sin. Took somebody else's wife, married her, killed the husband. It's basically what he did. And then just tried to cover it up and act like he didn't do it. Because he was the king. That's sin. But the Bible interprets David as one that's after God's own heart. That's what we know David as, don't we? What justified David? Huh? Yeah, he a man. But why the Bible interprets him as after God's own heart? David is you got to understand, the Jews looked up to David and Abraham. So these are the characters that Paul decided to use to justify his statement that we're not justified by what we do, we justify by faith. But David confessed that sin before God, and God forgave him. Because as you read in Psalms 32, the Bible says that the guilt that he had was gone. And when your guilt is removed from you, you are forgiven. When I confessed my sin and got saved, and I'm in sin, man. I got weed right here in my top pocket. I got beer in the trunk, and I looked up to heaven. And I called on Jesus, and he came. He came. He didn't even, it was just the reaching out and believing in him that caused God to respond to me. It's not by me working so hard trying to get God to respond. No, it's the reaching out to God by faith. It's the trusting that what he has for your life is more important than you. And by me doing that, stop that train of sin in my life. Right after that, Jesus started teaching me, stop hanging out with them. Leave that alone. Don't go over that way no more. And right after that, he started leading and guiding me away from sin. The stuff that I couldn't quit,
I tried putting it down. Got whooped by believing. I was able to stop by believing. Before I even did anything, God came in and enabled me and gave me the strength to stop and gave me the strength to say, no, I'm going this way. I mean, Jesus, just by believing, just by reaching out by faith, he started a new life in me, and I ain't do nothing. But I did work something. It just wasn't my strength. It was the working of faith. This is what's so important. It's the law of faith that we're going to have to start working. It's the law of faith. And that work is within. It's a working that happens within. It's a working that's of the heart that produces in this life. How you believe is more important than what you do. Let me say that again. How you believe is more important than what you do. Even though we're going to quit some stuff, we're going to stop some stuff, I'm against sin. Amen. Jesus done taught me how to stop sinning in so many areas, man, I can't even explain to you. But when I go back and look at what the scriptures is pointed to and what Paul is pointed to, it's the working of faith that started that deliverance in my life. It's what Jesus done for me that I accept and became a reality to me that produces righteousness in my life today. Amen. So I can't say I quit. I can't say I stopped. Amen. Not in my strength. It was Jesus. Me responding to his love causes these things to come out of your life. Amen. And this is so important as we grab this as in our foundation. Here's the mathematical equation the Lord gave me. In verse 8 it says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Here's the mathematical equation. God said, plus my faith equals righteousness. God said to Abraham, you'll be a father of many nations. Abraham said, okay. He just said, okay, I accept that. Mary, the angel came to Mary. She said, be it to me according to your word. Just whatever you say, I accept. I'm saying yes to your will, and yes to your way. That small choice, God imputes or accounts or count it as righteousness in your life. He did it in Abraham's life. He did it in David's life. Amen. And that being declared righteous, we talked about this last week. What institution you know that's handed out degrees first, before you go to any class? Not one. Amen. Not one. But in reality, this is how Christianity is. When you get saved, God declares you righteous the minute you get saved, the minute you believe. He declares you righteous, holy, and acceptable in his sight. So he literally gives you your degree first, and then we're walking and learning what he's done. We're growing in the understanding of what he has made us. So as the more and more we start progressing towards what he wants us to be or what he has already done for us in the beginning, this is what's going to produce. We're gaining an understanding of what Jesus has already done, how he's already created you. You're a new creature in Christ. Old things passed away and all things become new. We're no longer evaluating ourselves from a human point of view. Amen. If God says I'm righteous the day after I get saved, then what your faith should say? I'm righteous. That's accepting what he said. Yeah, you might be screwed up. Yeah, you might not have it all together. But that's what he said. Your family members might see something else. You might see something else. But when you start believing and accepting what God says for your life, you'll produce the fruit that God want to produce in your life. Because we too much identify with this flesh. I'm talking about too much, y'all. Too much. I know we got a flesh. But just because we have the ability to sin, don't mean we should just camp there and start believing and hoping for sin and never really come to the understanding that we've been made righteous. We've been made holy and acceptable in his sight. Amen. And he justifies us by faith at the beginning. And we grab that understanding that God is in love with me. That changes you. You can't continue to sin with that understanding. And you ain't even tried to stop. You just got an awareness of what God has done for you and how little sin has the power to control your life. We give sin and the devil so much power by what we believe. And what I mean by that is we just believe we gonna mess up. What I mean, and this is, I hear it all the time. You know, I got a problem. You know, I used to witness in the streets, and they don't know no better. But even ministers and deacons, you know, I got a problem with women. You know, they'll say, I got a problem with women. Always coming to me. I got a temptation of women, you know, falling into lust and adultery. You know, and I believe in confessing and admitting the sin. But always going around talking about I got a problem with women, I got a problem with sleeping around, that's what you believe. Eventually, that becomes what you believe. And what we believe, we draw to us. We draw those tests and those temptations to us. And Jesus taught me, I don't walk around talking about I'm not saved. I don't walk around talking about I'm trying to work my way into salvation. And then so now we can use that in other areas of our life. Just like we believe at the beginning. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. So with the heart we believe unto righteousness. All right, let's keep moving forward. Old school faith. Go to Romans chapter 12. It's in the Message Bible. Verse 1 through 3. This is so good. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. This is so good. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognizing what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to his level of immaturity, God bring the best out of you. Develop well-formed maturity in you. In verse 3, listen to this. I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all that God has given me, and especially as I have responsibilities in relationship with you. Living then, as every one of you does, in pure grace, it is important that you not misinterpret yourselves as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he's done for us, not by what we are and what we do for him. Amen. Because we didn't deserve this. This was God's plan, in bringing Jesus to come and save us. His love for us and embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. And out of embracing your love and what he's done for you or his plan for your life or where to go to church or where to stop hanging, who to hang out with, who your husband gonna be, embracing God's plan for you is the best thing that you can do for him. Amen. That's the best thing that you can do. When I started obeying Jesus, this when my life really turned around. When I started thinking about, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to be? Show me how to operate, Lord God. I need you. Embracing, looking to Jesus and embracing his plan for your life. That's the best thing. That's the best thing that you can do for him. Because out of embracing that, you embrace him. You embrace his love, his righteousness, his goodness for your life. And it sets you free from how you are and what people do. The reality of God's love for you sets you free from what they did to you. Them old relationships. What your mama did to you that you didn't like, that hurt you real bad. Accepting his reality of you. And you have a conscious visual sight of how much he loved you. What they did to you don't even matter. How they talked about you, it don't even matter. Why? Because he loved you so much. You are not an orphan. You are not left alone anymore because of what he's done for you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you, no matter who done left and who done forsaken you. Amen. The reality is you're not alone. And the enemy gets you on the shoulder and says, you know what? Don't nobody love you. And it's a lie. No, he loves me. It don't matter what they say about me. It don't matter what they did to me. Jesus is in love with me. And that's all that matters. Amen. So embracing what God does for you is your focal, is your focus in life. How he loved you, how he took your sins away. You're not going to hell no more, man. You're going to live forever. The reality is you are going to live forever with the King. And then allowing that truth and that fact to affect your emotions. It is really something to get ecstatically happy about. And it really brings home what really matters. What they think about me at school and at work don't really matter that much. And we set our lives in the, and this is what Jesus revealed to me. We'll conform our life in the opinions of others. We will change our behavior based on other people's opinions of us. And it's just what we think they're thinking about us. We don't even know they even thinking like that. But we form these thoughts in our minds about how they may view us. And that shifts our character. And we conform our character to what? This craziness that goes on in our mind. And all it is we got to get used to that my God and what he thinks about me is more important than what they think. He loves me. Amen. He's made me holy and righteous in his sight. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. So when Jesus tells you to do something and you are so ecstatic about his love for you, you're like, yes, Lord. Ain't no no in it because he loved you so much. How many of y'all been in them artificial relationships where your nose is wide open? Yeah. What I mean by that, your nose wide open is, you know, you in no relationship, you almost do anything for the person that's a spouse that you looking, you almost do anything, man. I know me and my wife, when we first started, I'm telling you, I was so in love with this girl. I was on the phone. This was before we had cell phones, right? So I was on the payphone. I ain't had no phone. I was on the payphone in the rain with the window rolled up and the wire coming through. And like, yeah, I love you. Oh. It could be 2 o'clock in the morning. She asked me to go get some ice cream. Sure, baby. She better not ask me right now. I'll just play. But if she asked me now, it'd be like, sure, babe. Yeah. And you got to kind of work your way. And, oh, yeah, I did say for better and for worse. And you have to remember all those promises you did before God. And you have to remember your vows. No, it ain't like that. But y'all know what I'm talking about. It ain't like that. But that lets you know. You remember at the beginning, though, you'll do everything. You know you can do that before God. Always keep in remembrance what he done for you. And it'll produce a, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, you want me? Okay, Lord. Why? Because nobody ever loved you. I can't even love my wife like this. And this is another thing. My wife is not number one in my life. And I'm not number one in her life. It has to be Jesus. Listen, I'm going to let you down, man. I know Jesus done taught me a lot. But I'm going to let you down. If you start looking to me to satisfy you and complete you, no person can do it. It's a false reality to picture the world paint this for us. No person can 100% satisfy you. This is why we get hurt so much. We're looking for this person to be all that they can be, and they can't do it. And guess who we need to look to like that? Jesus. But the world is painting, you're my everything. And it is Valentine's Day, and happy Valentine's Day, baby. You're my everything. And the reality is Jesus need to be that. Amen. This is what caused me to love my wife so much. Because Jesus loved me like he told me to love her like he loved the church. And he loved me so much. That's right. And so that what stimulates me to say, okay, I'm going to get you some roses today. We're going to have Valentine's Day today and go out to eat and have some chocolates. Amen. And then as she receives that, she naturally wants to reciprocate that love back without no work, without no manipulation, without, if you love me so much, you'll do. Mm-mm. It's out of pure love in what Jesus done. Amen. Amen. And I love you so much. All right, as we close, I'm sorry for my voice, y'all. As we close, embracing what God does for you is the best thing you could do for him. In 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Thank you, Lord. The scripture says, examine yourself whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. And as you examine yourself this morning, have you totally embraced God's plan for you? Totally embrace his will for your life. Just as Abraham did. Didn't have a child, but God said, you will be the father of many nations. And Abraham said, okay. He said, I accept it. Have you examined yourselves and accepted his plan for your life? And we all need to periodically do this as we grow in the Lord and let what matters really matters. Let what Jesus done for you influence your decisions today.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in to the Restoration Foursquare Church podcast. We hope you were encouraged and empowered by today's message. If you would like more information about our church, or if you would like to simply submit a prayer request, please visit our website at www.r4sq.org. We pray you have a great week, and God bless.